2018. What you got for me this year, man?
You're blocking me to do it.
Alright, welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. Slink, Angie, how you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Oh, bro, everything is everything, man. Angie, how you doing, sis?
I'm doing okay now.
Right? Like, we done had all these crazy difficulties and everything else, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's do this show, guys. I swear, when we look back on this, we're going to all laugh and be like, damn, what in the hell was we doing, right? Like, all kind of technical difficulties, starting, not starting on time. It's all going to be a laugh, and we're going to be like, yep, but we got what we fought through it.
Iron it out.
That's it. That's it, bro. So anyways, Village, we got some great topics for you guys tonight. And we just going to go ahead and get after it and keep it pushing here. So let's jump into this here, this first topic. Let's talk about this middle school teacher here who was secretly running a white supremacist podcast, right? Now, some people are going to say, oh, I mean, whatever. But think about this. She was educating our children, our black and brown children. So for one to say that her personal bias, for lack of a better word, didn't come in to play, you're crazy. And so, Angie and Slink, Angie, I'm going to throw it to you first, sis. What did you think about this? Like, when you initially, when I sent you the article and everything like that, like, what were your thoughts about this?
Not shocked.
Okay. I get it.
I grew up in a predominantly racist school. Well, teachers are, I mean, Florida, the teachers are pretty racist. It took me a while to understand what it was. So, and this was in Florida. So I'm like not shocked. I mean, I guess I'm shocked that there was a podcast like to like have the, you know, like she was publicizing it publicly, even though she was under an alias. And, you know, an 88%, they said 88% of the kids in school are white. So I'm not too sure. And then she said it was satire. It was satirical. Satirical is when, what's her name? That comedian, when she did like a satirical website of like, I'm white and I have black friends. Like, that's satirical. Like, making in fun of, like, you know, that, like, conversation. But not the shit she was saying. There was no satire in her joke. Like, it was no satire. Like, it's satire when you know that it's a joke. Mm-hmm. Not that, like, you know what I'm saying? You're doing damage with the things you are posting. That's not satire. Like, you know, Portlandia is satire. Like, that's satire. So, it's bullshit, but it's not shocking. And Huffington Post even wrote about an article of how common it is to have, you know, a lot of white and racist teachers, you know. I have so many stories of how, like, racist my teachers were. And I have stories of my brown and black teachers who were, like, internally racist themselves, you know, like, against, in, you know, their hate for their own people, you know what I'm saying? Which is a sociological issue that a lot of minorities face, like you know,
mm-hmm.
Which is a colonized behavior. But yeah, anyways, so yeah, I wasn't so shocked that she existed. I guess I was more shocked that there was a podcast and that she felt like she could have this and not be caught.
Yeah, that's definitely one way of looking at it. The fact that she was operating under a pseudonym, as she calls it. And I'm looking at the link now. I'm looking for her. Okay, she operated under the name of Tiana Dalachoff. I'm not sure if that's saying that right. And her her podcast was called Unapologetic.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I'm not too shocked. I mean, come on, our president.
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump was a subscriber.
Twitter all the time, and he runs our country. So what's the difference?
And I agree. Like, this is something, in my opinion, that, you know, regardless of what you say and how you feel, you cannot negate the fact that this woman was putting her own personal bias into how she taught. And even says it in the article. She said how she would, you know, use teachings and try to undermine the culture of America, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So it like Angie said.
But like I said, it's not just her. Like, there's so many teachers out there who do that. You know, like, it just so happens that we have a Teach On podcast.
And it's absolutely sad that it's actually come to that. Like, we have literally white supremacists in schools that are like, yeah, we can, you know, we can say this. And to a degree, there are so many people that are okay with it. And that's the sickening part about all this. So, Slink, what are your thoughts on this, man?
No, I'm not surprised. It's the climate. I mean, you're in a climate where folks of that nature that think like that or want to push that agenda, they're in power right now. You have a president that when somebody was killed at a rally with tiki torches, that he called the guys on the other side some fine people. I mean, so when you have that, you give people that empowers people. They will do stuff that they didn't normally do because they know that society's like, you know what? You know, society's in this country is I don't want to say privileged, but I have the benefit of the doubt over other folks if I'm a certain color, and I can get away with this, you know. And I could, and also the thing that I find like really that's chilling about this is, you know, as an educator, you're one of the foundations, regardless of even if it's high school, that's still a foundation of a young impressionable mind's thinking, the way they're going to think along as they progress through life. So, like you were saying, she could undermine how society is. I mean, society is not perfect, obviously, because we're dealing with this issue, but it shows you the power that a person with a young impressionable mind that you have. You can, I mean, it's predominantly white, and she's pushing white supremacy. Mm-hmm. So anything that's that she's teaching, any lessons, she's going to skew that towards that. She's going to belittle and negate any other progress or things of other cultures or of other ethnicities or any that diversity. She just, you know, that's what white supremacy is. It's the anti-diversity is what it is. And so, and they're already in that, you know, that school is 88% white kids. I mean, not saying that all of them are like that, because some of those kids may have great parents that teach them the right way and teach them about an all-inclusive world. But you understand, people here are at the status quo is at the last gasp. They're on the edge of a fucking cliff, excuse my language, and they're trying to hang on, and they're doing everything, and they're desperate. It's human nature. I mean, what you're seeing is this straight desperation, and that's what you get in our society. You're getting those folks. They're feeling threatened because people want equality. And people stand up and people are saying stuff. They feel threatened by that, you know, because, you know, there were ways to squash that and to quell that and to just put that fire out, to put the cup over the oxygen and snuff the fire out. But that can't happen in this day and age. Mm-hmm. It will not happen. We won't allow it. it's not just us saying this, it's just society in general. It just will not, it's not going on that way. So it's like one of them things where, you know, you might as well, it's sooner or later, you might as well go ahead and go in peace and go easy with it instead of going out with a fight like that. I mean, this, we're just trying to make this place what it's supposed to be. This is what's written down in 1776. This is what the idea of what y'all push. This is what, you, I mean, you know, hey. So, everybody, you know, deserves a piece of this. And so, but when you have an educator like that, back again, when you have an educator that's influencing so many young impressionable minds, I mean, to me, that's a dangerous thing. It's more dangerous than what she was doing on the podcast, being out there saying with her, that direct audience that she had every day. You know, those kids are there a great portion of their day, you know, of their week with this lady. And she's, and she can, you know, they're young impressionable minds, and she can influence that. So, yeah.
Okay, so before we move on here, Angie, do you got anything else before we move on? Mm-mm. Okay, Salik. So let's go ahead and move on here to this next topic here. And for some reason, got a little bit of an echo, but it's all good. We keep moving, baby. Like I'm trying to tell you, Slink, I'm about to jump back on Team Mac and just stay there forever. So anyways, Village, so let's talk about this. And this one came, I forget where I saw this at, but this one, I was like, man, it's Women's History Month. We've got to throw this in here when I saw it. Barbie unveils these dolls, right? These powerful dolls. And what I'm about to do, guys, I'm gonna hopefully this screen share option will work this time. But I got to play this little video clip that I have of these dolls, right? So let me see if this will come up. This will play. Hopefully it will. Let's do some screen share here. And there it is. Let's see. Unmute and we'll play. Okay, that to me, absolutely powerful, right? I'm not bashing Barbie. Let me not say that. I'm not bashing Barbie. But in the past, it's always been that Barbie, right?
Bash Barbie.
You know, I'm not trying to bash Barbie because you never know where the future may lead us. But what I am saying is I was so moved when I saw that. I'm like, yo, like I got nieces and stuff like that. I'm like, this is awesome. Like I'm trying to figure out, number one, when do these things come out? And number two, how much is they going to cost? It really don't matter about the cost. I'm going to get them either way for my niece. It doesn't matter, right? But I'm wondering when they're going to come out. Like, it's Women's History Month, and those are some powerful women that they just showed. You know what I mean? Like, women can do all things. And it didn't just focus on white women, which is what I really was worried about. They got a little bit of everybody. And that's awesome right there, man. Slink, what are your thoughts on this, bro?
All inclusive, man. I mean, we can even look back at the previous conversation, a previous topic, and even tie it to that. This is what we're talking about. This is progress. I mean, yeah, things were, it was a certain way. We know what Barbie was and the images and how little kids, we all know the psychology behind that. We all know the detriment that to me, that and a lot of people's opinions that's kind of caused in society. Not in a main and a bad way, but I'm talking about a self-esteem image thing. You know, a representation of everybody, females, you know, and just the, you know, everything. You can think of like even with the body image type thing with that when you think of Barbie. But to get back to what this is about and the positivity of it, is that, you know, it's what, you know, things are wrong and you change them. You change them to make everybody feel a part of this.
Yep.
I mean, we're all part of this grand story. We really are. I mean, we could we could detach ourselves from whatever, whatever situations in life, but I mean, the grand scheme of things in general, we're all part of the same story, man. I mean, so when you see, you know, just the all inclusiveness, I love using that word. When you see everybody getting a piece of it and everybody getting the recognition, you see everybody getting, you know, hey, it's okay to be brown. It's okay to be this. I mean, you see these positive things when the images you see are positive and you're represented too. You don't have to feel like why aren't folks that look like me represented, you know? And every time I see my folks, they're like, it's something bad, you know? But then when that's not the case, you know? So this is just one of the things, it's progress, you know? And I like it, you know?
Angie, what are your thoughts, honey?
Yeah, I love, like Liz Sink was saying, I love the progress. And you know what? It's good that we call out people what they did in the past, because that's important for us to move forward. We have to recognize what we did wrong in the past. That's just, I hate it that when Planned Parenthood would not talk about their forced sterilization of the Black and Latino population, and that they ignored that, they swept it on the wrong, just this rug. It's just the same as when we go to school, and when I grew up, they didn't talk about the reality of what happened to the Native Americans and what happened to African Americans in slavery. Like, they didn't talk about that. That's damaging. When you don't talk about how you fucked up in the past, we can't move forward. So I appreciate them moving forward. And you have to see what you did in the wrong in order to move forward. And that happened with the Whitney Museum. When Daniel and I went to New York, and we went to Whitney, and they showed pictures of when they were being racist. You know what I'm saying? So you have to, like, talk about how they fucked up in the past and how they're remedying it now. So when you say, I don't want to bash them, you have to call, you know, you can't pretend that they've always been pro this. They haven't. They fucked up in 1997 when they did the International Barbie Dolls, and they made Puerto Rico look like a white woman with Spanish clothes. That has nothing to do with our fucking culture. That's not us. That's the colonizers' identity. That fucked up a lot of Puerto Ricans. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not how we see ourselves. Yeah, there is white Puerto Ricans, but that's a negative history of us. It's like saying the first Americans, and you show pilgrims. It's not the fucking first Americans. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate Barbie for doing this, and I hope they keep on. I hope they get, you know, a Barbie that has, you know, who's in a wheelchair, or, you know, like, or an inventor who has these, you know, different abilities, or an artistic Barbie, like, I forget her name. She had a movie about her. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be great for them to keep on, you know. When I looked at the list, I'm so happy to see a lot of Black women on there. I'm so happy. But there was one Latina woman. Like,
it was,
definitely,
yeah.
We're 17%. Latinas are 17%. And understand that there is Afro-Latinas as well. So that will cover your Black population as well. You could put an Afro-Latina, and you could put a white Latina, and then you could put a brown Latina. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could, and there's a lot of us that have done great things for the world. And so I'm happy. I commend them, and I hope they still, you know, keep moving forward with this and really get to that intersectionality of, I love that they have the Muslim Barbie, you know, the Olympian. That was amazing. I was so happy to see that. So, and I love that they had a body positive Barbie. I love that as well. So, you know what? They're doing it, and I'm not going to say baby steps. It's fucking 2018. It should have been done. It should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, it's time for grown men and grown women steps.
The reason why they're probably doing it is because of money. They were probably losing money from Barbie, that mothers were tired of seeing white little Barbie dolls. Have you seen the Blacklist episode? It was so funny. She got angry that the only Black Barbie dolls were like slave Barbie, or dolls were slave Barbies, or like, you know, like stereotypical Barbie, stereotypes, and how her daughter only had white dolls. So, yeah, it's 2018. This should have been done a long time ago. So commending them now is bullshit. It's because they finally, money, they're probably losing money. So I'm sorry I didn't have a negative outlook on that, but we got to be realistic about some of this
shit. Hey, look, I'm not even tripping, sis. I'm not. Like, this is how you feel. Like, this is why I asked you to be a part of this. I'm not here to restrict what you're saying. This is how you feel. You know, I feel partially like you do. You know, like, damn, it's 2018. What the hell took you so long, right? But I'm also looking at this from the perspective of, okay, we're here. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of, like, just off topic real quick, Jordan Peele, the first black screenwriter to win an Oscar. You know, it's 2018. And I told Chanel the other day, I said, why are we still in this era where it's the first black anything? And she said to me, before we can say first, you know, this is the first black anything, we got to get through all this stuff first. And I said, you know what? I agree with you. You know, we got to get through it. That's just, it's that simple. We just got to get through it. And that's just what it boils down to, right? We got to get through it. We got to come together.
What we can't pretend and like, oh, it's good now, so let's just forget about it. That's what I don't want us to do.
Oh, no.
I don't want us to be like, oh, it's getting better now, yay, and then let's, no. Mm-hmm. Like, you've done fucked up. We're going to call you on your shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we, you know, you do it to people who fucked up, you know, who went to jail. People don't let that shit go. So why can't we let, why do we let corporations off the hook so easily? Hell no.
Mm-hmm. I get it, yep.
You have fucked with people's, you have messed up childhoods, you have messed up with a lot of our psyches, you know, because we didn't have that representation.
No doubt about it.
So, yeah, you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm happy you're doing it now. But my daughter, my nieces are 15 and 14 years old. What was this shit when they were kids?
So. I get it. No, and you're not a downer at all, sis. It's not a downer.
No, I'm not
it's
a downer.
It's reality. This is strict reality. You know? It's straight reality. That's being what real. This is, man. Yeah. So
before we go to the next topic, can I say something
real quick? Yeah, go ahead, bro.
You know when, let me tell you a little history right here, because boy Barbie, right? You know that when the first time that they started like thinking about being inclusive and thinking about ethnicity and thinking about including folks, right? You know what made them do it? And you were right earlier about money, sis. You know what made them do it? And my kid, she had so many of them dolls. It was the Bratz. I've read stuff in documents. That made them change. That made them.
I remember that.
And they came out with an alternative to it. Didn't sell. And then they just, you know, and so they've, ever since then, they've always tried to now include, you know, but what they're doing now, I'm not trying to throw salt on what they're doing now, because I mean, they're doing it, and that's the point that they're doing. I don't know what the motivation is, but that's the way our world is. It's about everybody getting that equal. It's about everybody getting that equal and feeling equal. So, I mean, this is a huge part of it. And so, I mean, it's about survival as a company, too. For them to survive in this new era, they need to do that. I mean, everybody's going to diversify like that and cater to everyone.
And you know why? Because independent, like black women, started making their own Barbie dolls. Because they were fucking tired of not seeing their, like, daughters not having this, you know, representation.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like, one woman used to wipe the faces off, like, redo the dolls and stuff like that. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand. Like, I remember the first time I got a Spanish Barbie doll. They made one from Spain. And the girl kind of looked morineta, like me. Like, and I was a very dark child. So, like, I never, like, you know, I didn't. You know, it wasn't black, but I was really dark skin, and my hair was much, you know, thicker, and the doll kind of had like the thick hair, and I remember like playing with her so like cariño, like so delicately, and like putting her on a little stand because she was the closest thing that kind of looked like me, and she was from Spain. You know, you know what I'm saying? And that's not, like, I don't identify with that. I identify with the Moorish vein because that's where my, you know, that's a lot of what my blood comes from. But not, like, the white Spaniards. That's not, but you know what? That affected me. I used to ask all the time, like, why don't I see dolls like me? Why don't I see people like me? Why is it, like, no one looks like me? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is with a lot of that, too? the person that's dictating the story, that's telling the story, is going to kind of be, everything's going to be in their likeness. The person that controls all the media, everything that you see, this is a story. The person that controls the story and the destiny of this country, they don't look like us. So what's going to happen? So we're always going to be, and it's not even an intentional that. Well, I can say it's intentional most of the time, but I think sometimes it's just the way society's been for so long. And they ain't saying that. That doesn't mean it's right. I mean, I think it's absolutely wrong. But I'm telling you, that is what it is. It's like the person that's telling the story is going to tell that damn story in his light, in his likeness, and how he wants to tell it.
But they need to make room for us to tell our stories.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you have to resist. That's why we have to do things like that we're doing now. So you force the story to be told right, and so for them to honor the words on that damn Constitution. That's what it boils down to. I mean, and that's why we see stuff like that. You know, you look back at the old, I remember, like, I'm a little bit older than you guys. So I remember, like, in school and stuff. And I really love reading, and I really love history, and I love the sciences. I'm big in it. I don't even really watch TV. Shows and series, I don't know about what be going on, man. People be like, what the hell, you're an alien? But that is, what I like is what I like. And what I don't like is what I don't like. So, but, you know, I remember as a kid being like, you know, and as I'm getting a little older, like, stuff just doesn't make sense. I'm getting the history over here, and my folks are telling me these things, and I got books with this stuff in it too, a history of me. And then when I go to school, you know, even if I'm in a class where everybody looks like me, we're not getting nothing about us. I mean, everything we get is about them, is about somebody else. And this world is way older than, I don't know, when people started coming here, 1500s. My folks came here in the 1700s. That's when my people came here, you know. But, like, this world is way older. This world is more connected than these people want folks to think it is. There was, I mean, people are like, oh, I'm full of this. No, you're not. Everybody's come from the same damn two people. Everything is, we're all, man, one, man. And people don't want to believe that shit. Even science tells you that, you know. But people don't want to believe it. But when everybody really realizes, hey, we're all one, man. I want a representation that looks like this lady right here. Even though it doesn't look like me, but I want to see her too. I want a representation of that person, that person, that person, that person, that person. I like that. I want everybody to feel the love. And that's the way it should be. Yeah. And when everybody feels the love, everybody gets a fucking loan.
Yeah, exactly.
Treat everybody right. Everybody, we're good here. You know, we have so many issues right now because we're just so divided. We're talking about a doll for kids and how that's affected folks and how that's divided people. It's sad when you lose a little tiny doll, but that's the world that we're in, man. Mm-hmm. But we can change this. That's why we're talking.
Yeah.
That's why we're the family. You know, that's why we're the village.
Exactly. So let's move on here, man, to this next topic real quick. This is one that came across my feed. And I was like, well, this is odd, right? Let me see if I can actually get the doggone picture to come up and whatnot. And let me see if I can screen share, if it'll let me even do it. And it won't let me do it, so that's fine. But basically, there was a picture that went up. It was a military base in Okinawa, Japan. And I guess I'm assuming it was the base theater. Right, I'm not sure, but it was showing the Black Panther movie, right? And instead of having Black Panther on the board or whatever it is it's called, the sign that shows the movies, the marquee, whatever you call it, they put the words "fat black nigger" on the marquee. And if you think I'm kidding, I will send you guys this later. I will post it on Welcome to the Village Facebook page, and you guys can look at it for yourself. And the caption read, it was a service member that took the picture, and social media went nuts on this. And the caption says, I am more than upset about this. Someone changed the name of Black Panther to Fat Black Nigger here in Okinawa on a Marine Corps installation theater. My fear is that even with cameras, nothing serious will happen. This breaks my heart. No matter what, we are just niggers to people. That says a lot about the culture right here. Right? Like, people keep saying, oh, quit talking about racism and it goes away. That's not how it works. That's not even remotely how it works. You know, to make it go away, you have to defeat it at where it's at. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. So even though I couldn't, and I'll try to post it here in a few moments here while you guys give me your thoughts. You know, just hearing that, what are your thoughts about this?
Again, not shocked.
Like,
shocked that someone, like, you know, went to that extreme to post that. But God, yeah, like, this so racist. People think, like, oh, you know, it's so diverse in the military. Yeah, but that doesn't fucking mean it's not so racist pieces of shit in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, I did it, racist assholes. I can't even believe, like, I did it. I was so, like, I just didn't know, you know, I didn't comprehend it. It wasn't until, like, later on I was like, what the fuck? You're, like, racist to me and you're dating me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, kind of sexist. And people, I think everyone gets so, you can't be racist and you date someone who's a different, no, you can, because you can be a fucking sexist. I don't know how many men out there are sexist and they date women. So shut up. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that the Marines got into some shit before because they had some Marines who walked in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were a part of that, you know? Like, there's, like, a Marine who was a part of, like, a white supremacy group in the military. I mean, and so it's like, no. And then we talked about the statistics a while back about how black, you know, members and Latino members are the ones who are going to get more in trouble in the military and longer sentences than people who are not, you know? So it's still that racial biases, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Slink, what are your thoughts, my brother?
Man, it, you know, the racism, you close your eyes, that shit, it's everywhere. I mean, it's ingrained in society. You can't say or think, you're really naive. A person's, not us, but a person, if a person tells you, like, well, you know, like the military, it's, like you were saying, it's everybody. It's all about family and this and that, and everybody. It's all about the melting pot and all that. I mean, you have that, but still, it's a reflection of our society. You just have people that have one common cause, and you got us all together of different diverse backgrounds. I mean, but we all service members, and you've seen things can get kind of stank when it comes to racial issues within the military. And we're talking about, you know, I served in the 90s, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm not gonna put my personal experiences in out here for folks, and just to make that, you know, be like, hey, you know, this is the reason why I'm saying this. But I've seen it, you know, and it's prevalent there, just like any part of society. I mean, and it probably is just as worse or bad. I mean, because you have a lot of guys that are in the military. I'm not trying to generalize or be stereotypical, I mean, a stereotype, folks. But you have a lot of guys that from rural areas, man. You got a lot of dudes, man, a lot of rural guys. And I'm saying that people, because you're from a rural area, that you're like, you're a racist or you bathed in bigotry. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you know what? I'm doing what I've seen. I'm trying. She's laughing at me. I mean, but I'm being real with this. I know I'm laughing and stuff. It's a joke around. But really, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, man. I mean, people that's like, oh, it's the military. Man, that shit happens everywhere.
Ignorant.
It happens everywhere. Man, do you know that I'm dealing with a racial issue right now with my kid? And I got to go to his school tomorrow. I'm putting your asses on blast, school. Yeah. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm putting your asses on blast. Because you... How I'm just it's got me over here stuttering, but it's with my kid. I have an issue in the school. Didn't even get back. I emailed them. They were quick to tell me, but what my kid did. But when I go back at them and tell you, okay, well, this is my kid's being harassed and he's being racially antagonized. Somebody telling him all this stuff. I mean, and messing with him constantly, and he's telling the kid to leave him alone. I mean, so it's like, and this kid's always around. It's like, so what? I mean, you're not doing nothing. I mean, and you discipline my kid and don't discipline that kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and then you don't respond to my email. I gave you a full day. I sat back. I said, let's see what they're going to do. And you do nothing well for tomorrow. I'm going to show you something tomorrow. I will be there.
Angela Bassett was talking about that.
Hey, who's that down at the bottom down there, man?
We got... We got Chance in the village. I'm over here messing with the audios on the other end. What's up, bro? You wanted to say something? Go ahead, man.
Man, I just wanted to say what's up, everybody. And, man, you got a bunch of maladjusted people everywhere. Got a lot of little curve boys and everything, and the military is, and you know, they can go under the radar largely because a lot of stuff, you can do a lot in the military, you know, traveling overseas, and swept under the rug. A lot of stuff, just, you know, you're in a foreign country, you can get away with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah,
but you know, Sling, real quick on your on that personal note though, with you, stay on that school.
Oh, I will.
And keep everything in writing, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. stay on and when in the in and don't be worried about, you know, go to the school board.
Yes,
you know, what's up? Board.
That's what's up.
Because you know, they're not handling it at the at that level.
You gotta go above them.
And the school board.
Yeah.
Now, Wendell, why haven't you gotten back to me?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I appreciate
no doubt.
I love it, man. On point. Right, right.
That's something my wife would tell you to do. So
she's, yes, indeed.
Yeah, because she's an educator.
I'm,
so yeah.
I'm just learning. Hey, your brother, you looking out for your brother? Me looking out for me, man. I appreciate yeah, that.
Yep.
That's real words, and that I'm definitely going to do what you said too. I mean, I was kind of thinking those things too, but you know. We think alike on a lot of terms. We're on that wavelength. I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, man.
All right.
So, hey, this is our time for this show. Yeah, this is. See if I can just get Chance on for just on these more often. That would be dope. But this is our time, guys. We're about 40 mics in. So, Slink, my brother. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, ladies first. Angie, how do we get a hold of you on social media? How do we get a hold of you on social media, Angie?
Anyway.
But it's polite. Anyway. That's what gentlemen do.
Oh, no. I was messing with her. I said, how do I get a hold of you on social media? And she was like, didn't quite catch that.
Right here. I got to keep it old school. Ladies first.
Ever. No social media.
So how do we get a hold of you, Angie?
Dancing Aurora, DancingAurora at live.com. Or I'm on social media. I'm on Google Plus. That's social media.
Stop. Stop it.
You can get me at Helena May. And yeah.
Okay. Slink, how do we get a hold of you, brother?
You guys can reach me at Slink Grindstone. I'm also on Facebook. Everything's under the same name. I'm on Facebook and also where am I? Facebook, all over the place. I'm just having so much fun. I had a brain for it. So Facebook and also Instagram. I'm trying to push that a little bit more. So I'm going to be doing a little bit more Instagram. I love taking photos and I have like a crazy camera full of all kind of shots and different stuff and interesting things. From around our city. Cool. I need to go and post that and put that stuff up there. So you guys check me out on Instagram as well.
Chance, my brother, how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can find me at Chance W. Brown on Twitter. And you can see me lurking around on Facebook on the Welcome to the Village page. I might be posting a few things every once in a while. All the time! Yeah. And, you know, if you get lucky and you find my page, it's got my mug on it, so I'm not hiding. I don't even know what my own Facebook handle is, man.
That's a damn shame. Jesus.
Get mine too.
Jesus. Lord, Black Jesus have mercy. What is happening? Man. All right, so if you want to get a hold of me, I'm at Enlighten My Mind on Twitter. I also handle the Twitter handle for Welcome to the Village at W2TheVillage. Show can be heard on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, Tumblr by searching Welcome to the Village. Crowdcast replays can be viewed on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, Tumblr, and Google Plus by searching Welcome to the Village. Google phone 619-202-1562. Email welcometothevillage@gmail.com. The website is up. It's welcometothevillage.wixsite.com/ website. Village, if you simply subscribe to our Crowdcast channel, you'll basically get the notifications like, oh, they're about to go live. Let's go into Crowdcast and join them and see what's up. That would be the best way to do this, right? I would love to have everyone on Crowdcast only. Like, I don't even want to have to use my personal page. Maybe use the Village Facebook page. But those be the two major mediums. You are YouTube, Facebook Live for Welcome to the Village, and Crowdcast. That's it. That's what I really want to get it down to. Those three mediums. Advertising is available. I'm still working on the Fiverr page. Don't think I haven't. I'm still trying to figure out all my options with that. But the Etsy page is up. So search W2TV and go from there. And last but not least, this week's Village Idiot is our president, Donald J. Trump. If you're going to bang a stripper and have a non-disclosure agreement, make sure you sign a non-disclosure agreement. You got to sign that yourself, dog. You got to sign it yourself, bro. Just saying. You got to put that, you got to get your little hands and sign Donald J. Trump.
On the raccoon paws.
Yeah.
With them hands, you know. With them little hands.
Got them little hands, them little burger paws. And sign Donald J. Trump. Please don't tell nobody I was banging you while my wife was carrying my child. Hashtag you're a dumbass. Village, that's our show. As the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Guys, have a great night. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
You rocking with the Village. You rocking. Get it.